Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery, excited to be here for another Mind Shifting Monday. Welcome to all of you that are listening via Blog Talk Radio, as well as those of you that have called in via phone. I see plenty of people have already called in. I see several phone numbers popping in, so thank you for all of you guys tuning in right now. And also, welcome to all of you first-time listeners to Mind Shift Talk Radio. Mind Shift Talk Radio is a show for you. It's for every individual that's looking to grow in several different areas of their lives. So whether you're looking to grow financially, spiritually, personally, professionally, maybe you just need help in terms of health and wellness. Whatever it may be, this is a show that you need to tune in every Monday night. Any area of your life in which you need to have a mind shift, a paradigm shift, this is the place to be. It's a great way to get the week started. So we encourage you to make sure that you're connected with us every Monday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Also, if you're not our friend yet, we encourage you to become our friend on Facebook. You can find us at facebook.com/mindshifttalkradio. Also, you can find out more about the show, upcoming guests, as well as past guests on our website at mindshifttalkradio.com. There you'll be able to not only read about the guests, but you'll be able to download previous shows as well. So you can always catch up on your mind shift. So without any further ado, because we're going to go ahead and get this week started really quick, I want to go ahead and bring out my other half. I call her my partner in success, Juanita Sis to Big Bones Warren. Hey, Sis.
Hey.
Okay, I need you to perk up a little bit, okay?
Wait, that wasn't perky enough? What are you talking about?
No, it wasn't perky enough. But happy Mind Shift Monday to you. Whatever.
Happy Mind Shift Monday to you as well.
Are we going to be nice to each other tonight?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to be good, right, on our best behaviors?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So, look, I'm excited about tonight's show. I know we're going to go into it fairly quickly, but we do like to provide a quick recap in case you may have missed the previous week's show. Again, we encourage you to go back online. You can check it out at mindshifttalkradio.com. Also, if you're not following yet on Blog Talk, I encourage you to do that. You go to Blog Talk Radio, type in Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery, and you want to go ahead and follow us there as well. That way you're always getting the email and you're always being updated about upcoming shows. Also, if we're making any changes or if we need to send something out to you via email, we want to make sure that you're getting those as well. So please make sure that you're connected with us at blogtalkradio.com as well. But last week, you know, it was the 4th of July, and we wanted to have an Independence Day conversation, but it was a little different this year. This year we put a little twist on it, and it was very mind-shifting, I guess we would say, because we talked about gaining your independence and having freedom over negativity. And so we talked about, it was kind of a follow-up to the previous week's show. On the previous week, we had LaChance Harrison Roberts on the show. And so she talked about the success mindset and about the different characteristics that make up a successful person. And one of those characteristics, in one piece, she talked about being able to not only release negative emotions, but it was about releasing negative and toxic people in relationships as well. And so we just talked about releasing some of those negative thoughts that hold us back in terms of our relationships and our finances and our health. So if for some reason you missed it and you want to go ahead and find out what we had to talk about, we really were sharing our own perspectives, kind of providing some insight, and just giving you enough just to kind of get it started, to get the ball rolling in terms of things you can do to really take that, I guess, have a self-analysis and really look at your own situation and then determine what the best course of action would be for you to have that mind shift. So definitely encourage you to go back, check it out at mindshifttalkradio.com. So, as I said, you guys have been looking at the post on Facebook. We've been doing email blasts about this. I know our guests have been promoting this show as well. We're really excited. We always have a huge turnout when we do these relationship conversations. For some reason, everyone wants to hear what men have to say about dating and relationships. It's just like one of those things we're curious about. Women always want to know. And I think a lot of men tune in as well because they're like, okay, these guys are representing us. We want to make sure they're doing it the right way. So we always get a huge turnout when we have relationship conversations. And, you know, we're going to have another roundtable, but this is going to be the first part of a three-part series. So you don't want to just tune in this week. You want to make sure that you're going to be here for the next 2 weeks as well. This week, we're going to talk to the gentlemen. Next week, we're going to talk to the ladies. And then the third week, to wrap up this month, we're going to have just a full, amazing roundtable discussion with the men and the women. Now, of course, Sis and I could not hold this down on our own because it's probably going to get rowdy at that point. So we have some phenomenal women that are here to moderate this conversation tonight. So we're not crazy enough to try to do this on our own. We have the experts that we've pulled in. Right, Sis?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes. And also, guys, the chat room will be opening shortly. I know there's a delay with it right now, so just bear with us. But the chat room will be opening shortly. So if you have any comments, any questions, you may agree or disagree, we encourage you to just come to the show with an open mind and open perspective. You may not necessarily agree with everything that's shared on the panel, and that's okay. Just hang with us for the remaining part of this hour. We're guaranteeing that you're going to have a positive and a healthy mind shift by the end of this show. So, tonight's guests, our special guest co-hosts, I guess we will call these ladies, that are going to be moderating this conversation are the owners of an exclusive Atlanta-based dating agency. And the name of this agency is Cream of the Crop Boutique. And you guys have to look online to see what the spelling, how they spell boutique. It's so cute. But it's B-O-O, and then it's T-I-Q-U-E. It's cute. But anyway, Cream of the Crop Boutique here in Atlanta. And they're not only an online dating service, they're not matchmakers or anything like that, but the goal of this agency is to encourage singles to appreciate the process of dating, courting, and romance throughout the entire relationship. Now, many of you may be wondering, okay, what's the difference between dating and courting? Well, there is a difference, and these ladies are going to explain this tonight. So they provide very distinctive opportunities for, you know, African-American heterosexual males to mix and mingle with like-minded females. And Cream of the Crop Boutique, it's very classy. They have classy and chic events, and they introduce dating with a personal twist. So one of the owners is Kia Starlight Seabee, and I hope I'm saying that right, Kia. Don't hurt me. And then we have Shan Butterfly Johnson. Okay, these ladies established this business in 2012, so I want to go ahead and allow them to come on themselves and tell you a little bit more about what they do. And I guess you can just find out why they're the experts in their field. So we're going to go ahead and introduce Kia and Shan. Welcome to Mindshift Talk Radio, ladies.
Hello. Good evening, everyone. How are you?
We are okay. Great. We're excited to have you guys here tonight.
Thank you so much for having us and letting us share in this experience of matters of the heart, you know, the male perspective, which we just love the men here at the boutique, B-O-O-T-I-Q-U-E. So this is Kia.
Hi, everyone. This is Shan. And thank you so much, Stacy, for having us on the show. I'm excited tonight to learn what the guys have to say about the difference in dating and courting here in Atlanta. And that's what we do. We actually specialize in the art of dating, as Stacy was telling you, and we believe that dating is a process. Well, a relationship is a process, and there are different stages of it. So we just want to get down to the root of things tonight and find out what these guys are talking about.
Exactly.
Awesome, 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 awesome. Okay, so we can hear. Sis, are you able to hear both of the ladies pretty good?
I am, yep.
Okay, awesome. Well, why don't you go ahead and tell us about our panel that we're going to have tonight?
Yes, I have the privilege of introducing three sexy-sounding men. I'm just going to go with that because I've heard your voices. Yes. We have 37-year-old Princeton, 34-year-old Jimmy, and 33-year-old Ashley as part of our panel tonight, and I look forward to them bringing the heat tonight.
Yes.
All right. So welcome to Mindshift Talk Radio, guys.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Thank you. I need you to read my eulogy, by the way.
It's so silly. So, Kia, Shan, you see what you're working with.
Okay.
Yes, we're ready.
We are ready.
Okay,
so, okay, so we've got
two
singles and one married gentleman on the panel. Right?
Okay, great.
That's correct.
I made y'all be clear about who the married one is, though, so I can make sure I do not get excited about his voice.
That'll be Jimmy.
We're going to ask the fellas to go to introduce themselves, and you did give their age already, their age, their relationship status, and if what is the difference between dating and courting, if any?
Okay, so I'll start off. Actually, my name is Princeton, and I am divorced. And I think that the difference between dating and courting is dating is more like dating is a little bit more impersonal, right? I think that the courting piece is when you're doing something for, you know, a reason, a long-term reason. Dating is just, you know, so I'm thinking, you know, dating is just dinner, it's a movie. Courting is taking somebody to church. You know, courting is finding the opportunity to be able to, you know, spend some quality time to figure out who is who.
Wonderful.
Dating is just something you're doing. That's it. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
okay.
Like that answer.
Well, my name is Jimmy. I'm 34 years old, African American, disease free gentleman. And I just wanted to say that the difference, you know, I am married currently still. And you know, the difference between courting and dating is these days, to be honest, everybody's, you know, I mean, am I allowed to say you know, like these days, like dating is more so, you know, having sex. I think that like a lot of people, you know, like, you know, in the age of, you know, people not really being able to tell the difference between love and sex, you know, like, you know, some people are just, you know, serial, you know, people that just go around and just date different people just to have sex with them and then move on to somebody else. I mean, it's just too much like frequency. See, back when I was single, it was what it was, but it ain't what I'm seeing now in terms of people just, everybody just kind of, they're like dating is not really, you're not doing nothing, but that's the last person that you really had sex with, to be honest. That's what, you know, that's actually what I get from my single friends. Courting is when you actually are taking the woman very seriously. It's somebody that you wanted to take home to your mother or to meet people that's important in your life, your friends that are important to you. Those, you know, the woman that you're courting, you know, you are eventually courting her because you want to, you know, you consider her marriage material.
Excellent. Okay, so what we heard you say, Jimmy, was that dating, in modern day, dating is more or less like for sex. But courting is someone who you do want to
long term.
Okay. Thank you, Jimmy. I guess that leaves Ashley next.
Yeah, I just feel like you really, there's nothing more you can really say about that subject. I think it's pretty basic. Like dating is what we do for fun. It's what you do when you're not really serious about a relationship. You kind of want to be in a relationship, but you don't really want the work, or you don't want the burden that's going to necessarily come with it. So you just play. So you just date. You just go out. You just meet people. You can be serious or not. It doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, you're not really trying to establish anything with that person. But when you court, you know, it's when you put a little bit more effort into it. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work out, but you actually put the effort and the time in to actually, like, see where it goes.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you guys for that. This is Shan speaking. Okay, second question.
Well, before we do that, you guys were definitely hit the nail on the head. Dating is for fun, to get to know someone, whether you even have common interests or if you can even have a conversation with that person. So, yes, dating is more of a quote-unquote sport. And courting is definitely intended for marriage and for something that's more substantial than dating. And we do agree, and we have heard through, from a lot of men, that dating is now connected to sex, which is very interesting, because really if you're dating someone, you should not really engage in sexual activity if you don't even know if you like the person or if you have common interest in the person. But so good job on that. Our next question would be, do you believe that women bring baggage into the relationship?
Anyone.
Okay, repeat the question. So, I mean, I guess your question was it about the woman bringing baggage or for us bringing baggage? I apologize.
We were actually going to go to the men, but since you brought both of you guys into it, sure. Do you think that both males and females bring what we call a Samsonite bag into the relationship?
Okay, so this is my thing. Everybody has baggage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So where some people have trunks, other people have carry-ons, you know what I'm saying? So I really think it depends on the strength of the other person that you're already with and whether or not they're going to be strong enough to carry those bags, not only for right now, but for the future as well.
Do you think unpacking them as opposed to tugging them along would be better?
I mean, sometimes you can look at your strengths. I mean, you can look at baggage as being like your weaknesses to a degree, you know what I'm saying? So the thing about people, and it's something that they'll never, ever understand, is that your weaknesses will never be your strength. You know, you have to kind of maximize the things that you have. Now, whether or not that means being a little bit more lenient on certain things that may or may not affect you in your relationship, you have to decide, you know, because everybody has flaws, so you really have to decide whether or not you have the patience or the will to want to deal with certain things, because everybody's going to come with baggage.
Yes,
exactly.
Who was that
again? This is Ashley. I just feel like I think people, you have to realize that, like, you're in a relationship with a totally flawed person. Like, both of y'all are flawed. Like, nobody's perfect. Everybody has baggage. Everybody has a history. Everybody got stuff they're still dealing with. Everybody got insecurity issues. Like, everybody dealing with a whole bunch of stuff. So as long as you realize that you're sitting across from another human being, like, that is as flawed as you, I think you have a better chance to, like, make it. But I think people, we forget that. We say he's never supposed to do this or she's never supposed to do that or this isn't supposed to happen. This isn't what I envision my life to be like. I just feel like you just don't know. I don't know. I got lost in thought right there. I was going somewhere about this.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I say just as long as that baggage is not a sexually transmitted disease, then I think that, you know, everybody can work through everybody else's baggage. You know what I mean? I think that we as people have the capacity to work through people's flaws, people's past experiences. I mean, there's somebody out here for everybody. You know what I mean? Whether that person has a past of being in jail all the time or being an alcoholic. I mean, people change. I think people's baggage changes along with them. So you just have to be able to find somebody that's willing to, you know, keep each other's baggage sensitive to each other, but don't let that stop y'all from being together.
Yes. Thank you for sharing your opinion on the baggage. Yes, everyone does come with some type of bag. And as you mentioned, the bigger, some have small bags, some have fanny packs. It just depends on what your deal breakers are as an individual, what you're willing to deal with, and to be able to communicate that in the dating or the courting process, courting stage of the relationship. Okay.
Let me just jump in for 1 second, ladies, and just, you know, in case we have other people tuning in right now, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and Juanita Sister Big Bones Warren, and tonight we're talking about matters of the heart from the male perspective. So we're joined by the owners, dating consultants here in Atlanta, Kia and Shan of Cream of the Crop Boutique, and we're having a male-only roundtable discussion. We encourage you guys, if you have any questions, maybe you want to ask the guys some questions, maybe you'd like to ask our experts some questions, feel free to do that in the chat room. It's open via blogtalkradio.com. Also, you can call in at area code 347-989-0206. We would love to hear your thoughts. Now, I know, Kia and Shan, you guys were about to ask him something different, but since we're talking about baggage, I know this is something that you guys address with your clients. If you don't mind kind of going in a little bit deeper with the guys in terms of how men handle their own baggage when they're establishing these romantic relationships. I think many times after, you know, we think about Erykah Badu and we think about women having baggage and so forth, but we never really hear how guys deal with their baggage. So if you don't mind kind of going in with that, and I'm going to be quiet now and listen.
Okay. This is Shan speaking. The research we've done, we found out, like the gentleman said, we all have baggage, but men tend to handle baggage a little, well, differently than women. Most of the time, women, we get emotional when we, you know, are trying to deal with different things, and the guys, they kind of pull away. So because some we've noticed and realized from research as well that guys tend to have that macho type thing going, you know, guys don't cry, they're not supposed to be sensitive, and so that inhibits them a lot from really being the person who they could be and who they want to be because of that macho thing that they have going. And guys, correct me anytime you want to, but
we
have, you know, that seems to be very normal with males, and I'm not speaking of just African Americans, but I'm speaking of all males, because we handle things differently as males and females. So it's just comes really interesting to us how guys tend to, the ones we were been talking to, they would say put everything on the female a lot. Not saying that, you know, we do have issues, but a lot of times they blame females for their issues, and sometimes these issues are more deeply rooted than they appear on the surface. You can go all the way back to childhood, the way they were raised, the way they were raised by their fathers, if the fathers were in their lives, the relationship with their mothers. All of those things play a part in that, the way men handle their emotions.
Do you agree, guys? Do you disagree?
Okay, so this is the first thing. I think, everybody's experiences shape their lives. Right, I mean, that goes for men, that goes to women alike. So, you know, it's not. I don't necessarily think that we handle it differently. I just think that, you know, there's just certain social norms, so to say. There's certain social norms that kind of lend us to be a certain way. Just like there are a certain amount of social norms that have, you know, females to act and behave the way that they do as well. Well, the thing about it is, if you're the one, a man's not gonna have an issue with showing his emotion. But at the end of the day, it depends on what stage you are within that particular relationship. You know, because at the end of the day, don't no woman want no weak man. And so to us, you gotta take into consideration, we've been taught so long that showing that emotion is a sign of weakness. If we're trying to be or prove ourselves in the eyes of a woman, we don't want to look or be weak. So that's how we attribute those, that's how we align those things. That's not necessarily to say that it's right or it's wrong, but the thing about it is, once you find somebody, and that's the difference between being with just somebody and then being with the one, right? Because when you're with the one, that person understands your language. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, and unless you have someone who understands your language, how you speaking, what you mean when you're saying, but your inflections, you know, that's how you get the true story. Because at the end of the day, a woman can never really feel how a man feels and how he presents himself to him. Just like there are certain things that we'll never understand about you all.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But one thing I noticed that I did want to point out that you said that's showing weakness. I don't think a man crying or being emotional, you know, except with the one he loves, is showing any type of weakness as a man. I just don't.
And that's what I was saying. I mean, that was actually to my point. if you're the one, then a man won't have an issue with that.
Yeah.
But until
a
man gets to the point that he places you in a certain threat, on a certain shelf, you know, whether or not that's to be my wife or whether or not to be my jump off or my just girlfriend on the side. So, you know, but when he puts you in that place, it's not an issue. By that time, he knows who you are and you know who he is.
Right. I think, and you were referring to the societal norms of the whole man up, and, you know, the only expression that can be shown is being, you know, angry or upset. You know, those are stereotypes, but those are also things that women already kind of have preconceived when they're going into a relationship with a man. And, of course, I believe that that's unfair to a man to expect that he is emotionless or, you know, he won't show anything but anger. So I definitely agree with your point as far as what societal norms, and then to the piece of the one and the one who isn't the one. That comes with communication and being able to talk about what your issues are and what you've brought into the relationship that maybe you haven't worked through or maybe you have worked through. And then also to be able to maybe talk to a counselor as a couple and have some type of guidance before moving into something serious. Do you gentlemen advocate for counseling in a relationship?
I think it depends on the mentality of the couple. I don't think everything's out of the realm of possibility if you're trying to maintain relationships. I mean, relationships take just as much work as anything else. So if you have to retool or you have to get a third party's opinion every now and again to get you back on track, I mean, go for it. It makes the relationship stronger.
I really think that the only counseling that really works is spiritual counseling, from a minister and everything. Because when you go to people that have been trained and went to school for things, you don't know where they're coming from for real, like other issues. I went to counselors before where the counselor was talking more about her own life and her own problems than was focusing on mine. But, you know, when I got married, you know, like, my minister was most people's ministers, if they real, you know, they're not going to marry you without doing the counseling themselves before they co-sign on this whole deal or whatever, you know. So, you know, but the advice that he came was from a spiritual level. And to be honest, I really don't think relationship. I think that when you lose spiritual connection in a relationship, you know, I think that's when you lose ground and really out here. If you don't have any kind of spiritual peace or spiritual connection with the person that you're with, neither one of y'all is going to be able to fight away the things that are going to come against y'all relationship, because you know your spirit will be off and then you won't even be able to really balance. And I think that, you know, everything is about balance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree with that about the spiritual. I don't agree with other counselors, you know, besides spiritual counselors don't work, because I think for some people they do,
mm-hmm.
and maybe perhaps the counselor you went to see was not the right counselor for you, you know, so that could have been a situation. But I think, you know, they do work to some extent depending on the background and what you're actually trying to get out of the session. You know, but I totally agree also about the spiritual connection and being connected to God, because if you're not, there's no way that a relationship can work. And that's pretty much, you know, any relationship. But between a man and a woman, if you don't have that spiritual connection, I don't believe it will work either, because anything that's not built on a solid foundation, and that includes God, you know, not necessarily going to work out. So
from the clinical perspective, when you say, I mean, everyone has a whole body. You have a mind, you have a body, you have a spirit. So you have to treat, just like you have to give your body good food to be healthy, you have to give your mind good food for it to be healthy. You have to give your mind good, you have to nurture your spirit. So in a relationship, you bring that holistic approach to your relationship as well. So as you nurture your spiritual side of your relationship, and there are some emotional concerns in a relationship, then who else would be able to address that but someone who may have some knowledge clinically? You know, we find that a lot of black men don't want to hear it when it comes to going to counseling at all, you know, and there are so many things that can be revealed through that process that will assist your relationship, you know, depending on what's going on with it, in a healthy way and an unhealthy way. So,
well, the only reason I feel that guys have an issue with it in the first place is that it's normally only brought up when something's going wrong. Like, I feel like if couples decide, hey, you know what, let's go to counseling and start a pattern, especially when you first get married, because this, when you first get married to a man, he's going to do whatever you tell him to do. I'm just going to tell you straight up, been there, done that. So my thing, if it was a pattern that was set up, you know, quarterly, every 2 months or whatever, just like a touch base, then he wouldn't have an issue. But now you want to drag me to the counselor, and things are rocky, you know?
Exactly. That's what I said, as far as even when your relationship is healthy, it's good to already be ahead of the game so that when something happens, you're already in that dynamic. So I totally agree. I didn't want to just shift subject.
Before we take that shift, can we go ahead and take a call? We have some people in queue waiting to comment or ask some questions. Can we go ahead and take a call really quick?
Awesome.
All right, let's see. Okay, you're calling from the 404 area code. Welcome to Mind Shift Talk Radio.
Yes, how are you? I'm calling because I am recently approaching divorce, and as a person that's on the panel that is divorced, and I want a perspective from the woman who started the dating website, how long do you think it should be before you start the whole dating process after that relation comes to an end?
Well, I'll answer that question. This is Kia. I will answer because I am divorced myself 6 years. I've been single for 6 years. And I believe that you should at least transition out of what got you to that situation. You know, you are single or you're not in your marriage for a specific reason. And so why did you get to that point? So a lot of self-reflection should take place before you move into something else. That's why rebound relationships happen. That's why when you move too fast and you don't focus on what you can do better in your next relationship, what comes up in the next relationship. So I don't know if there's a specific time frame, but I think a lot of self-reflection and growth is necessary. And then it also depends on what the attraction was, I guess, why you're not together with that person. I mean, it could have been something that was out of your control, and then that's a different process. So that's how I would answer it. Do you have a way to answer it, Shannon?
I would just say, pretty much piggyback on what Kia was saying, it pretty much depends on what happened, I guess, and maybe sometimes couples just decide that they're growing apart. You know, and you might just want to move on. And sometimes things happen that you can't move on right away. So I guess it really depends on the situation and the person. But I would say that self-reflection, finding out what went wrong in the relationship so you can be clear, moving into a new relationship whenever you decide to do that. And also, you know, realizing if this person who you were with, if that didn't work, you know, what was it about this person that you did not like or that happened with this person that maybe was out of your control or something that you could have controlled? You know, what was it about you that, you know, she may have had a problem with? I mean, did you guys understand the love language? Did you understand, were you fulfilling each other emotionally? It's a lot of aspects, you know. So you just have to kind of, I would say, take it day by day and take it nice and slow. You know, have patience like the turtle trying to get across the street real slow.
Right. What about the gentlemen? We have two gentlemen on the panel who are single and were married. Do you have any advice for this brother?
Yeah, I mean, my thing is this, right? So to her point, you never really know. Everybody's runway is going to be a little different. Maybe it depends on the infraction. But then again, at the same time, maybe it just depends on, you know, how he handled the whole situation. Because some marriages are over years before they actually get a divorce. But there's still a finality that comes with being able to sign, you know, sign your name on, you know, on the paper. But what I'll say is this. You have to really be careful during your next relationship, especially if you haven't given yourself that time. Because basically, you know, you'll find yourself, if you're not really ready, and this is coming from, you know, me, I was separated 2 years before I got a divorce. So I was separated 2 years, got back together, and then I got divorced. So really, I was trying to move on during the point when I was separated, and I wound up pulling in someone else in, and as soon as my wife wanted me back, I just dropped it like a hot potato because my heart wasn't in it. And you have to be responsible. Like, you can't be irresponsible with people's feelings and what's going on. I think a lot of men do that. You can't be irresponsible because you never really know what that person is going through or what kind of effect you may have on that person. You don't know what their history is. And when you say, you know what, I'm going to date you, I'm going to court you, then that person is giving you a certain amount of trust. And you can't just go around and play with it like it's nothing. And you may not even know that's what's happening because guess what? Your mind may be in it, but your heart ain't in it because your heart is still with your wife.
That was powerful.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, did we answer your question, sir?
Well, our caller is actually gone, but thank you for calling in, caller. We actually have to let him go, but thank you for the question. All right, so for those of you just tuning in, welcome to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and Juanita's sister, Big Bones Warren. Tonight we're talking about matters of the heart from a male perspective. So the moderators of tonight's panel, excuse me, is Kia and Shan of Cream of the Crop Boutique out of Atlanta. And we have an all-male panel talking about dating, courtship, and romance. So if you have any questions, feel free to call us at area code 347-989-0206. Also, you can reach us in the chat room or join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/mindshifttalkradio. All right, ladies, I'll pass it back to you.
Okay, thank you, Stacey. Okay, we wanted to know when you are, well when you're in a relationship, fellas, do you think it's necessary to learn or know each other's love language?
Yeah, I think I'll start it off. Yeah, you know, somebody told me, you know, anytime you ever in a marriage, first thing people always talk about is that love language. And I don't really like to read, unfortunately. I hate to break. I hate to feed into the stereotype, but, you know, I really don't have a lot of time to read, like an entire book. So I read stuff online. So I found a little five love language thing, and I didn't have to read the whole book. It's basically what I'm saying. Do not judge me. Okay? But my point is that I think that it is important for people to understand each other's love languages because people show love differently. And if you're not at a capacity to accept love the way that someone shows their love, then you're not willing to try to figure out their communication style because the same way that they show love is the same way that they're going to communicate to you. So it's like, for instance, if your love is gifts, you know what I mean, and you like, you know, you always, you know, when y'all go through something or whatever, you buy her something or you go and do something for her financially or something, you know, she may look at this like, oh, this motherfucker trying to buy my love or something like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, that man is just showing you love the only way he really knows how to do it. And if you're not willing to receive that or if you receive it the wrong way, then I think that y'all be on two different pages and that bird will never fly.
Okay. You still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, so with that being said, okay, you just said if you buy her gifts, say that if you buy her gifts, she
no.
Should never
okay, so, gifts. So the thing is this. So what you're saying is for us, we feel like if we've been catering to that same love language the whole time and then something happens and then we resort to that same love language, then to us it's like it has less meaning. Does that make any sense?
I mean, because we already know what's gonna bring you back. So I think a lot of times people, especially when you have the piece of the discourse piece, that all love languages kind of shut down. I mean, I think it's important why everything is good. Just for, you know, a checkpoint and make sure that, listen, I'm giving you what you need, you're giving me what I need. But oftentimes when you really need to open up the communication lines is during the time of discourse. And during the time of discourse, most love language are like null and void.
Okay. Well, I don't really, you know, think that love languages are null and void. It's
when you're in discord, is what you're saying? When you're in discord, they're null and void?
Right. Well, that's the piece. I mean, and I'm just saying from my perspective because,
right.
You know.
Of course.
And it may be wrong, but like I said, I think like when everything is good, then I think love languages are very, very important. I just feel
You said two key things. You said that when the communication is good, then your love language is on point. But when you have discord, then your love languages do not exist. It is null and void. But if you were communicating effectively and being responsive to each other's love language, then the discord would not be as severe. Meaning, if you are buying her a gift and she does like gifts, that's her love language, but you like words of affirmation. Baby, thank you so much for that gift. I mean, I really appreciate it. You are so awesome. Now you're feeling good. She's feeling good. You've talked about it. So it's easier to move through this board if you do know how to communicate with each other before it gets there. And you understand how your mate hears and feels and understands love. Does that make sense?
This is Ashley. Let me just butt in.
Sure.
I mean, that just sounds like that's a textbook scenario, right? That's picture perfect.
It sounds very textbook.
It sounds very Tyler Perry can make a movie surrounding what you just said. But,
well, that's good. He can make a movie for me, but go ahead.
But what I'm saying is that what happens when, like, the issues of life enter into those relationships, and then you're not talking your love languages when you're not stroking an ego or you're not being the yin to the yang when everyday life get on you. A lot of people, that's what, like, to me, destroys a lot of relationships. And it's just, I mean, it's hard out here. It's hard out here in these streets.
It is. I think that's when the counseling would be appropriate. You know, if it is to a point where you're not communicating and you have used all of your resources that you have to you, that may be a time where you can seek counseling. But, you know, that's just my suggestion. Did anyone else have anything else to say? Do all of you know what the love languages are? They are quality time, words of affirmation, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. And some are more for others. You know, some have one that's more than the other, but I think they're all incorporated at some point. Is that?
Now, I know some of the guys talked about how they felt like, you know, I'm just sorry, I'm trying to be quiet, guys, but I know they talked about how, you know, the whole love languages, the five love languages sounds very textbook, and of course we know it does come from a book, but my question to the three of you guys, have any of you read the book, and have any of you taken the questionnaire to find out what your love language is?
I didn't read that book. I read a book. It was similar to that, but it was like the Christian version. It was like the church version, where it was like, I can't, do y'all know what I'm talking about? They made a movie about it.
About the love language. No,
well,
I don't.
His answer is no. So basically,
okay.
That's why he answered that. So his answer is no.
And honestly, none of us have acted, but I've Googled them, and I know what's your
problem. I've taken it online before, and mine was gifts.
Okay, so you know what your love language is.
Right.
Yeah, I took mine online.
Okay. So my question is, and I'll ask you, Kia and Shan, when you come across clients like this that have never read the book, they may have done the questionnaire like Jimmy said or so forth, how do you teach them about, I guess I'm trying to understand how to have that mind shift in the guys for the guys to understand how important it is to really, I guess, just kind of take a chance on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether you think it's textbook or not, but maybe just take a chance and say, I'm just going to test this theory. Because worst case scenario, what am I going to lose? I'm going to end up exactly where I am right now, which is probably miserable or unhappy or in a really defeatist relationship right now. So, you know, guys, I'm trying to figure out what's so hard about just saying, let me just take a chance on it and see what comes out of it. Like, would you guys be willing to do that if your mate asked you to do that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we do a lot of things for our mates, even if we don't decide that we want to, but if it's important to relationship, then yeah, we would do that. But you know, I think the bigger thing with us is that, like, for me personally, I'm thinking, okay, the five love languages came out how many years ago? 2-3 years ago, I'm thinking maybe. So
no, it's a little longer than that.
A little longer. Okay, so let's even say it was 10 years ago. But my point is, you know, I sit and I wonder, what did my grandparents do without a book? You know what I'm saying?
Your grandmother, my grandmother,
when I was coming up, by the time I was around, they were living in separate homes. And I was there for 20 years.
How long were your grandparents married?
Yes, they were.
How long were they married?
Oh, they were married for 50 years.
Okay, that's because your grandfather knew your grandmother's love language, and she knew his. They didn't call it the same. They didn't call it love languages then. It was just known that this is what my wife loves and this is what my husband loves, and I do this because we communicate effectively and we know what makes each other feel good. And we appreciate.
Or it may have been the don't do language. It may have been the don't do. I better not do this because this is going to piss him off, and I better not do this because she's going to be ticked off. It could have been a little bit different. It may not have been from a place of love. It could have been from a place of fear. That's another conversation, I guess.
Yeah.
That was just my thought.
But I guarantee you that your grandfather definitely courted your grandmother, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, I definitely believe that, but my thing is, what makes it, you know, what makes it any different as far as we're concerned? You know, if our grandparents had the fortitude to say, okay, we're going to sit out and learn each other instead of, I mean, I'm all for self-help books. I really am.
You don't think it's important? I'm sorry. Do you think it's not important to learn, you know, what your significant other likes or does not like?
Oh, no, I think it's extremely important. No, what I'm saying to you, we're talking about the act of actively going out and say, okay, I'm going to get the book. I'm going
to
read the book.
What I'm saying to you is, right.
And I mean, the book piece is really not a big deal. It's more along the lines of, okay, what is a self-help book in terms of, you know, relationships? How much more value will that add to my life to get me to the point that I can be with my wife for the last 50 years? To me, the best self-help book is being able to sit down with somebody that's been together for the last 40, 50 years and find out what it was that worked for them in order to get there.
Exactly. I think all of it works together. There's no one fit recipe. There's no one self-help book. This is Kia Fox, I'm sorry. And it's not read this book and it's going to fix all of your problems. Of course not. It's a resource. It's a tool. And that's what we are. We're data consultants. So we try to bring in resources and tools and tips to assist men and women in dating, courting, and understanding and having productive relationships and maintaining healthy relationships. So this book may not work for you. It may be another resource. But we just wanted to incorporate and wonder if it is important to know your mate's love language. But I think Papa, my mom, auntie, what they did, what the book said, what Oprah might say, I think it all works together, and whatever works for you works for you. So.
All right. All right. Well, you guys are definitely giving us a lot to think about. I know my mind is over here spinning right now. The wheels are turning right now, and I know we can't go into detail with everything, but we're coming up towards the end of the hour, and there's a couple of pieces, Kia and Shan, that I would like for us to go into a little bit more. Earlier in the conversation, you guys talked about spirituality. I think Jimmy brought that part up about spirituality in a relationship. And I'd like to hear your perspective in terms of individuals dating from different religious backgrounds and what it means to the men to be equally yoked and how important that is in a relationship. But I'll let you ladies go ahead and, you know, handle that. But that's my question.
Okay, this is Kia. It's interesting you asked that. When I was married, I came from a Christian background, and my husband was from the Muslim faith. And I would have to say, in my experience, it was slightly difficult when it came to different holidays and making sure there was a balance there for our children. But eventually, I did convert to Islam and practice because, for me, it was easier in our household to be on the same page when it came to our religious beliefs. And for me as well, I have kind of a traditional way of thinking when it comes to letting the man lead and be the head of the household. And so I chose personally to follow what religious background he had. And it worked for us. You know, I don't have any complaints about it, but I think that long as there's a spiritual and religious, some type of connection, doesn't have to be organized religion, it could be spirituality, is very, very important to, as a guide for you when you're in a relationship.
Okay, really quick, this is Shan. I think for relationships, as for me, I'm very traditional, and I do believe in what the Bible says about the man and the woman, and the man, God being first, the man, the wife, and then the children. So I do believe that it's important to understand, you know, if you do come from different religious backgrounds, it's important to discuss those things, because you will have time that you will have different holidays, or one may celebrate this holiday and the other person may not. So I think it's important, especially if you have a family, that you discuss these things. And I also just think it's important, like Kia said, to just have some type of spiritual foundation, because for me, that's just very important in a relationship, to have a spiritual foundation and to be grounded.
And if it's a different religious belief, then you should respect each other's belief as well, and not about you, you know, because again, you came into the union with that different perspective, and you know it's important to try to make that work. So, gentlemen, what do you feel about that?
Okay. It's too much work, right? I mean, because you got to think. Religion, to a degree, shapes who you are as a person. You know, there's a certain amount of rules and expectations that come with any type of religion. And if you've been patterning your life after a certain certain amount of parameters, then you want to make sure that the person that you're going to be with not only going to fall within those parameters, but still hold you accountable to fall within those parameters as well, especially if you're a spiritual person. Now, I think it's really important, and this is just my personal belief, but I just feel like it's really important to have somebody, quote-unquote, equally yoked, because you all have to be able to call on the same person for help, especially, I mean, because, you know, once you're married, it's no more, you know, me and you, it's we. So you have to be able to service. I do think it's difficult. I feel like I couldn't be with someone who didn't serve the same God that I serve, who don't hold themselves to the same type of standards that I hold myself to, that my children are going to be able to carry on my lineage, and then that's going to go from them to them to them. Those are the things, you know, when a man wants to leave something behind, you know, he wants it to be left the way that he left it. And so especially when you're talking about a man being a hierarchy of a family, you want to make sure that family traditions and the things that they did and their forefathers did, that those things are going to go from generations to come. So
So yeah, I think it's really important to be equally yoked. That's the only way people are going to be able to get through these hard times that we have. I mean, we live in a bad time. You know what I'm saying? You have to be able to lean on your partner, and your partner to be able to lean on you, to be able to lean on you in order to be able to get through life in general.
Mm-hmm. Lean on me.
Oh, God.
When you're not strong.
I have a quick question.
Okay, now listen.
I have a quick question.
Now I just had one thing to say. I didn't want to prolong the situation, but I just going to say, like, you know, it don't have to even break down to religion, like the whole equally yoked. I know that it's from 2 Corinthians, but my point is that, you know, I think that you can look at it like a woman and a man have to be on the same page in terms of making real life decisions. Like, I don't even think that a Democrat and a Republican can really successfully have a marriage if they're true Democrats and true Republicans, because, you know, one side you're gonna have somebody that's against abortion, then you're gonna have one side somebody that's like for gays and maybe it's threesomes and lesbians and stuff. And you know, like, at the end of the day, if y'all are, let's just be open minded. I mean, there are plenty of people that have successful marriages that swingers, and if both of y'all are swingers, then it's cool. But if one of y'all is a swinger, then fuck, this shit's gonna mess up.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's like you have to be on the same page. I mean, that's what, like, equally yoked, not just from a biblical perspective, but just from a life perspective, just in terms of just y'all have to be able to make the same, like, decisions together, especially when it has, like, real-life implications or things of that nature, like gun laws and things of that nature. You know, y'all be arguing every day over the same thing because y'all don't have the same type of views.
All right, guys, so I'm going to go ahead jump in. I know that Sister Big Bones has been quiet for most of this evening, and she always has tons to say. So, Sister Big Bones, what are your thoughts about what we've been discussing so far, or what you're hearing from the guys in terms of their perspective?
Well, first of all, I just really appreciate everyone's candidness and your transparency and just being real honest and raw. That's kind of definitely, as a female, what I like to hear and want to be able to understand. But to go back to the piece about the five love languages, I'm a marriage enrichment facilitator and counselor and all that great stuff. And I noticed that just the term five love languages isn't sexy or appealing to male audiences. But if I'm also a Franklin Covey facilitator. So if I'm facilitating 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, that's much more male-dominated. So my question for the gentleman is, where do you go or turn for betterment, for, I'm not even sure if self-improvement is the right word, but to make yourself just a better man? Where do you turn? Where do you go? Where do you get that from? Because I think better you as a single, better you as an individual, then that translates to better you as a couple or in a relationship and in a marriage.
You know what? To be honest with you, there are no outlets for men like that. Like earlier in the program, I was thinking that very same thought. Like, women have all these outlets, and if you want to get even more specific, black women have all these outlets to be better than, you know, yesterday. Like, you know, even in Atlanta, you have Black Girls Run. You know, y'all got Essence Festival. Y'all got all these self-help, Ivana, Oprah. You got all these people that are all about, like, woman power, girl power. Y'all got the BET things. Like, I have all these outlets to give out positive energy to each other. And, man, we don't have those outlets. But that was what Preston was talking about earlier, societal. That's society doesn't allow men to have outlets. Like, men didn't grow up talking to other men about issues, and they were going through the same issues. You just kept your business to yourself. And unfortunately, that bad habit has transcended generation after generation. But honestly, you have to keep a I call friends, people got other words for them, but people who are going to keep it real with you no matter, like, if you're right or if you're wrong. You know, a lot of people don't really have that group. You know, I'm fortunate, just like these guys are, to have, you know, friends that they can be, you know, truthful with, and their friend to get it to them straight no matter how they like it. And a lot of people, honestly, that's the best way. That's the best way.
I think the one thing that a friend or whatever, I mean, we have people in our lives for certain reasons. So, you know, I think that what differentiates it is, you know, we have to be able to figure out, okay, what is your value to this? And it's all about self-discovery more than anything else. You know, your friends are there for support. They're there to listen, but it's more about them asking you those hard questions for you to be able to figure out what's right for you. And that's nothing really different from, you know, what you get from, you know, a counselor. A counselor's not going to tell you what to do, but they allow you to be able to, you know, to have that self-discovery to figure out what it is that you need. And we know to be able to not only be in a relationship, but be in a successful one. And if it's with that person, and if you're getting enough out of it.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is why we created this agency. We want to be able to provide a platform for African-American men to be able to talk, network, be empowered. And we agree. There are not a lot of organizations, or there are not a lot of outlets for you guys to be able to do these things. Like, there is a lot of organizations for women. So that's why we, one of the reasons why, you know, we started this agency for you guys.
Yay. Okay, can I be perfectly honest? Please, can I be perfectly honest? Just for 1 second.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
And when I think about www, it was, what was the website again?
As far as what? For the Facebook
right.
page?
So my thing is, right. Now, if I didn't meet you, young ladies, and right. I didn't know, you know, where you're coming from and what additional, you know, things that you have for us, as a man, I'm not inclined to go and click on a link that is blue spelled with a BOO-T. So I think that the issue is not that the resources aren't there, and this is something that's a lot more than just the website. This has everything to do with how people present things to men to make it, you know, to make it attractive. It just so happens that I go to church, and you know, we have a men's program within that church. But there's so many of my friends that don't go to church, so they may or may not have that. So I think that, you know, it's society. It's about how much money the advertisers are making. But there aren't a lot, to Ashley's point, there's just not enough venues, and we have to be faithful enough that God put the right people in our lives as a support as far as that circle is concerned, because for most guys, all they really have is the advice, and most times it's flawed advice, but the advice of, you know, our friends and people that we hold dear.
Awesome. All right. So, guys, thank you. And thank you, sis, for the question. Did you have another question before I ask a final one? I know we're going to wrap it up, and this next question is one that normally gets a little lengthy. Did you have another question to ask, Mr. Big Bone?
Oh, no, I'm good.
You good for now? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I know when Kia and Shan sent me over some of the possible questions for the show, there was one on there that I think everyone always has. Every roundtable discussion we've had, whether it's been from a male perspective or a female perspective, people want to know thoughts and perspective in terms of sex and dating. We've talked a little bit earlier about, I know some of the guys shared that they felt like, you know, casual sex is normal in a dating process. I know others would feel that sex should be reserved for the courtship process. And then when we're talking about that spiritual perspective, there seems to be more men now that are open and willing to abstain. And so I want to hear from the guys in terms of your thoughts around abstinence and how important do you guys think it is to the dating process? Do you think it's something that needs to be done earlier, sooner than later? What are your thoughts about that? And all three of you guys can go ahead and answer it.
Okay. Wow, that's a deep one. Go ahead, Ashley.
Can I be truthful?
Yes.
No,
we want that.
Okay. okay, so I was in a situation exactly like we discussed right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my ex-wife, right, so she was like real churchy. And so she did not want to have sex while we were in our relationship, right? So I dated this woman for 3 years, right, with no sex in this relationship.
Woo!
Right? However, I had sex several times outside of my relationship with her because I wasn't going to wait 3 years not to have sex with nobody. Like, that's silly. Like, unfortunately, like, guys, you got to have some kind of sex. I'm just being honest. We got to have some kind of sex. It's hard to be a grown man not having sex. That's not. That don't want her.
The reason is this. The reason that I think more men, there's some men who are apt to do it. But I'm going to tell you why. The value, as you get older, the value or the value or the currency of sex decreases. Because when as a man, when you're young, when you're, you know, you're 19, 20, 21, 22, that's all that matters at that point. But the older we get, we place less value on the sex piece and more about, you know, I mean, that's a maturity piece. That's when a man decides, okay, I'm not a boy anymore. I'm looking for something more than just sex. So, yeah, if a man is you know, 30 plus, yeah, it's possible. They're going to say, you know what, I'll abstain. This is the right one.
They laugh when I
okay, so let me just say my little piece. This is how I feel about abstinence and everything. It's a catch-22. It's kind of like, would you buy a shoe or, like, you know, anything without trying the shoe on? And you're supposed to sit up there and buy it, but like, never actually put your foot in the shoe? But, like, you're expected to buy the shoe? I mean, like, you know, at the end of the day, it's kind of like asking somebody to do something that is not reasonably acceptable. But it's a catch-22 because if you do it, 9 out of 10, if the other person, if all they wanted was the sex, then they're out of your life instantly. So all you did was just buy a ticket to breaking up with them because now they're hitting me and they're like, well, I just really wanted bragging rights, to be honest, or I just wanted, or I'm just the type of guy that's a womanizer that, you know, goes around and sleeps with a lot of women. And so now you just gave him exactly what he wanted and he left. You know what I mean? Before he even got to figure out how magical of a person that you were. But on the other hand, you have sex with someone to where it's like a mutually understood, you know, thing where y'all only having sex with each other. And, I mean, it, you know, if you find that right person, you know, I think that it doesn't matter at what point you have sex, whether it's, you know, first night, second night, first week, whatever it is. To me, it's like as long as y'all are both in the capacity and willing to, you know, not just let it be whatever it is and the other person's not cool with that and y'all not equally yoked. You understand what I'm saying? Like, y'all just have two different things about you that, like, you know, y'all are looking for two different things. I just don't think that that's fair. I think that that's a waste of time. I think that abstinence should be for two people that can handle being abstinent and then that are both equally yoked on the same page about that.
So, it's okay the first night with you.
You said, is it okay?
Yeah, is that what you said? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think so. I think, well, you know what? I would, you know, it depends on what state of mind you're in. You know what I mean? Because if people are, you know, drunk or like out of their mind and they party and they meet somebody and that's the first time y'all have sex, you know, like, to me, I don't think that, I think that, like, you can't sign a legal contract and be inebriated in the United States. Like, it's not even a legally binding agreement anymore if you were drunk when you signed up for it. Most people don't look the same they did when you were drunk anyways. So when you wake up the next day, now you done had sex with them, and now you see what they really look like, and they got a tooth that's missing in the back. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to, you know, sign up an agreement that you got to be with somebody for that, you know. But my point is, you accidentally sleep with somebody first night. I don't think that first night
that you should try to build a relationship with somebody. Because not that I'm saying somebody gave it to you first night, you're not the first person they gave it to in the first night. They're probably not in the first. I mean, they probably done did that, like, all week. So, to me, I think that having sex early in the relationship is cool, but not necessarily on the first night.
Okay.
Third night.
Oh, God. Okay, so let me ask you this, Princeton. And Ashley, Jamie just said a lot. So Princeton and Ashley, you know, just to sum it all up, do you guys think it's possible to have a healthy relationship and abstain? I know you've already had some experience with it, Ashley, but just even moving forward, do you guys think it's possible? And if a woman says to you that she wants to abstain, is that like a huge red flag? Do you run at that point, or do you stay and continue to invest in the relationship?
I don't think that you run. I think that because a lot of times most people don't really know, you know, I think it's different between whether or not they're saying they're abstaining until they feel that you're the one, or I'm abstaining until I get married. You know, just to say I'm practicing abstinence, you know, for God, just because we're solvers, we want to know, well, how long, you know, do I need to show myself approved? Do I need to make sure that, you know, I'm doing this, that, and the other? You know, and I'm not trying to say it to say that sex is the goal, because oftentimes it's not. But the truth of the matter is that most men show love through sex. You know, men show sex, show love through sex, and women give love to get sex. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Men give love to get sex, but women give sex to get love. That's what I was trying to say. So, yeah.
Ladies, I think the goal is to have sex. The goal is always to have sex. Now,
yeah, we are clear on that.
You can still be the one that I want to spend the rest of my life with, but don't get it twisted. It is about sex. I'm just going to enjoy having sex with you for the rest of my life. But all of that sugar coat, like, you know, best man, brothers, all of that Hollywood stuff, like, it's like that, but at the end of the day, I mean, men are physical creatures. It's about mm-hmm. sex. It's about trying to have sex. It is.
Yeah, you guys are physical, women are emotional.
Mm-hmm. And sex is human. I mean, it's a human thing to do. So, yes, as mammals and animals, of course we're going to want to have sex. But I think that as far as dating goes, it's just recommended that if you're going to have sex, and especially as it pertains to a woman, you want to try to be in a monogamous relationship. You want to try. Of course things happen, but you may have a better success rate with that woman if you at least wait until you guys are in a monogamous relationship. Exclusive, we're only having sex with each other. We're not having sex with each other and, you know, my ex-boyfriend or my ex-girlfriend or whatever. So,
y'all not saying that on Thursday night, so scandal come on.
This is just a random question. Like, who is recommending that? And I'm probably with the guys on this one, because if sex is going to run you away, I'd rather get the sex out the way before I'm investing the emotional effort, energy, and my time to get my heart invested to find out you can't work the middle because your thing too little. I'm sorry.
So would that be before being monogamous, agreeing to be monogamous, you want to try it out first?
But my definition of monogamy is one person at a time. I'm not the menage a trois thing. No, just the one person at a time. Now, you tonight, the next person tomorrow, maybe, but one person at a time.
Ladies, I think we need to hear some truth out of these mouths. We can't be transparent. Y'all have to be transparent, too. Y'all laughed at me when I said I was with that girl for 3 years. I heard.
No, I commend you.
See?
I think that's very godlike. That was a great thing that you did. I'm serious.
Wait, y'all commended him for not sleeping with the girl for 3 years, but sleeping around with other people? We commended
him. No. Okay, I missed that. You were sleeping around, though. I'm sorry.
Yes. Okay. Who was that, Shan or Kia, that was sleeping over there?
This is Shan, but okay, let me take that back. No, that was dead wrong of you, because
I mean, and when, once you got, well, then what happened?
What was that?
Once you got with her after 3 years, was it worth waiting for 3 years?
The answer, ladies, was no.
I got hold,
damn it. Ladies, the answer to your question was no.
Can I say why I was no? Because you were too busy handling those other people. We'll never know now, will we?
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely
okay.
true. But my thing is this. My thing is this. At the end of the day, sex is a dance, right? And either you can learn to dance with a partner, or some people just not going to be on the same beat. That's just what it is. So,
yeah, right.
You have to figure out, are you willing for somebody to be stepping on your toes for the rest of your life, you know,
right,
after you've invested all this time, or is this person at least trainable to be able to do the wobble or something together at the same time?
You got to train them up. Okay.
We get it.
I've got a question. I'm not a. Is there any type of car? Like, I don't know nothing about cars. My car got like 450,000 miles on it, so I don't know anything about new cars. But is there any type of car that you cannot test drive before buying?
I agree with the test driver now. I didn't say I didn't.
I was just asking because I had been told that, like, Maseratis or some other high words I can't pronounce are like cars you can't test drive before driving.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, before buying. But so I wanted to ask that question, hopefully somebody knew before I said, you know, you can't test drive every car. So I'm glad I didn't use that analogy. Thanks. Yeah, about that. So,
well, I mean, no, you can't. You can't use that analogy. But I mean, sex to any relationship is extremely important. I mean, you got to think. Sex is traditionally. I mean, that's if everything is wrong with your relationship, and you still have, I mean, I tell people this all the time, great sex is always bad, right? And this is why I say, great sex will keep you in a bad relationship too long, or will take you out of a really good one. And so, you know, I think this whole, the idea of sex and being sexually compatible with someone is just as important as being compatible with somebody on an interpersonal level, because men communicate through that. And so, you know, for us, it's how we have an opportunity to actively show you, you know, that we love you, that we care for you, that we want to be there to protect you, and that, you know, we got to think. Most men, these times of age, aren't having sex and doing the things that they're doing with a woman for their own pleasure. Like, a man wants to know that he is pleasing his woman. You know what I'm saying? And if you get a situation where you hadn't test drove the car, then you may be in a situation in the back of your head thinking, I can't even please my wife, you know? And that's crazy. Mm-hmm. And I think it's crazy, and I think it's unfair.
Well, I think at the heart of that question is the whole piece is, does it matter, does when we sleep with you and whether we sleep with you or not, does it detract from your attractiveness to us? Does it prohibit us or prevent us from being your mate or getting married or you marrying us? That's really what's at the heart of the question is, if I sleep with you on the first night, is that going to knock me down in terms of marriage material or boost me up? That's pretty much the question.
The answer is no. I don't think so. I mean, sometimes people get connections really, really quickly, you know, and sometimes it takes a little, for other people it takes a little bit longer. But I don't think sex, not in this day and age, especially
based on, like Jimmy was saying, the environment you all in, I don't think that it automatically excludes you from being able to live happily ever after. It just doesn't.
Okay. All right. Well, we're coming up towards the end, and I think we have enough time to take one more call. So let's go ahead and take a call. Caller, you're calling in from the 347 area code. Welcome to Mindshift Talk Radio.
Thank you. Hello. My name is Kenesha, and I'm calling from Austin, Texas.
Hello, Kenesha. Hello. From Austin, Texas. Howdy.
Thank you. Hello. I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm showing some support, and I really enjoy the topic and the different perspectives, so I just wanted to say thank you. And I actually did have a question, but I kind of feel like it's a bit off topic, so I don't know if you guys maybe want to go in another direction for a quick second.
We have about about 3 minutes for it, so go ahead.
Okay, well, I've been married for some time now, but I do, however, have several friends that are single, and I always encourage them to, you know, go out and put themselves out there. But I would like to get the perspectives from the lovely moderators of the show on how they advise their clients on putting themselves out there without appearing somewhat desperate. And also perhaps opening themselves up to people of other cultures and other people from, you know, different communities. So I guess my question is, how do you encourage your clients to open themselves up and to also broaden their horizons?
Well, we try to encourage our clients to not be as guarded as many people are when they're first meeting someone or on a first date. We try to advise them on what questions to ask, what not to ask. You shouldn't be giving a lot of personal information on a first date. You shouldn't talk about your ex-husbands or your ex-wives or your baby daddies or, you know, if you hate your job. And, you know, negativity is not a good thing to do, to talk about when you're on a first date. We try to advise them to think about their last relationship and what did not work in that relationship, and try to move past that or take a different approach, step outside of the norm. I mean, the definition of insanity is to continue to do the same thing and expect a different result. But if you're continuing to meet the same person and you're having the same result with each person, you might want to change that up a bit. As far as other races and being open to dating other races, I think that depends on your preference. I think there's someone for everyone. With the boutique, we do try to focus on African-American men, and we do know that they do date outside their race. So we don't discourage or encourage. We just try to encourage them to be genuine when they are dating and not to be guarded when they go on these dates and meet different people.
All right. Well, I think that was a great question. I'm sorry, I'm going to wrap it up because I know we're running out of time. But I will say this. Thanks for calling in, Kenesha. And I'm going to encourage you to make sure that you're here next week because it's going to be focused more so around the women next week. So make sure you're plugged in and make sure you're sharing it with your friends and family. So, yeah, that's our plug for Mindshift. But, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Mindshift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and Juanita Sister Big Bones Warren. Tonight we're joined by Kia and Shan of Cream of the Crop Boutique here in Atlanta, dating consultants extraordinaire. And then we also have our male panel. I'm just really appreciating these guys. I mean, there's some humor here. We're getting some intellect. We're getting a lot of transparency. So it's very interesting to hear the male perspective on matters of the heart. And thank you to those of you that have called in, as well as those of you that are in the chat room. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming up towards, we probably have about a couple of minutes to wrap this up. Kia and Shan, if you could just share your final thoughts with the men, if there's any advice that you'd like to share with the guys before we have to wrap up for the evening.
Okay, well, first of all, I would like to say to the guys that I really enjoyed getting your opinions on the different things, aspects on dating and courting here in Atlanta. And I think you all had a lot of good feedback that is definitely going to help a lot of the men as well as women out there. One thing I would like to say is that, and, you know,
it's dating and relationship, it's a process that we go through, and we need to put as much energy into our relationship as we do our businesses and our households and ourselves and, you know, and all that. So I think it's just important to know what you want out of a relationship and what you have to offer, as well as what you're trying to get out of the relationship, and have just open communication with the person, and then have fun. And when you're out there dating, don't have any expectations. You know, just have fun and just kind of go with the flow.
And this is Key. I would just also, again, back to the Samsonite, but just be aware that everybody does have some type of baggage, and be aware of what you are willing to take on and what you're not willing to take on, and be honest and transparent about that, so that you don't get into a situation where all of a sudden you have a six-piece luggage set sitting in the middle of your living room and you can't figure out how to get rid of it. So kind of what I want to leave you with. And thanks again for the opportunity.
You're welcome. So if you guys could, I know you guys are going to be back with us for the next 2 weeks, but you're probably going to have people that want to ask some questions or get in touch with you before then. So if you could provide your contact information, whether it's websites, phone numbers, anything like that, that would be great.
Okay. Yes, you can find, we are on Facebook. We have a like page, which is www.facebook.com/creamofthecropboutique, BOOTIQUE. We also have a friend page, Starlight Butterfly, STARLYTEMBUDDERFLY. Also, we're on Instagram at The Boutique, as well as Instagram, The Boutique One. I'm sorry, Twitter,
Twitter. Okay. Awesome. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Princeton, Jimmy, and Ashley, do you guys have any final thoughts, anything you'd like to share with the listeners before we close out for the evening?
Not at all. I mean, at the end of the day, I just want people to have a little bit more patience and to be able to enjoy the process. I mean, the process is really those things that you want to build on for the rest of your life. There's nothing wrong, if the mood is right to move forward. But just make sure you don't have any regrets, whatever decision it is that you decide that you're going to make. You know, we all have an idea of what we look for in a mate, and just be open and receptive to the possibilities. You know, who knows, lightning can strike.
And I like to say that, and I like to say that I feel as though women, the same way you got that man is the same way you can keep the man, okay?
You let me guess who that was.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the reunion.
The reunion, that's going to be interesting in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
that's going to be hot in a couple of weeks. All right, sis, what are your thoughts? What are your final thoughts you want to share before we close out?
Really, I just look forward to continuing the discussion as to how best to meet the needs for the men, especially to facilitate that through other men, because I know it's also hard to receive when it's women trying to meet the needs of men. So I look forward to that discussion. Just appreciate everybody's time and their expertise tonight. And I just look forward to part two and three.
Amen to that. All right, and so thank you to all of you that have tuned in tonight via Blog Talk Radio, via MindShiftTalkRadio.com, as well as by phone. Special thanks to our callers tonight from Texas and from Atlanta. Appreciate you guys calling in and asking questions and sharing your perspectives. And also special thanks to several of you that are guests tonight in the chat room. We appreciate you joining us there as well. Thank you to all of you just listening to the replay as well, because I know many people can't listen to the live show for several different reasons, but it still shows when you're listening to the replays that you're still committed to your own personal growth and development, so kudos to you as well. And as always, we encourage you guys to make sure you're plugged in to MindShift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery every Monday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Make sure you're sharing this with your friends and family members, any person that's in need of a mind shift. You want to make sure that they're connected. And make sure you're here with us for the next 2 weeks. As I said before, next week is part two, so we'll have the ladies on the panel. I'm sure that's going to be interesting as well. Hats off to Kia and Shan for holding down the fellas tonight. And then part three, 2 weeks from now, will be the reunion, as Ashley just called it. So we're going to have our own mind shift roundtable reunion here, so you don't want to miss that. Again, go ahead and like us on Facebook. And also go ahead and follow us through Blog Talk Radio. But as always, we wish you guys another phenomenal, blessed, and amazing week. And we look forward to having you join us next week. You guys take care. Have a great night.
God bless you. Good night.
Mind Shift Radio.